which is acceptance of who he is. And there are two ways that we ourselves can respond to the gospel. It's either rejection or acceptance. And I'd like to talk with you guys about that here tonight. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Lord, it is a privilege, not a right. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly, to communicate the gospel clearly, as it is the most important decision that anybody can make in their life. Lord, I pray that you would open the hearts of teenagers here tonight. Lord, that you would stir them and any lost ones here tonight, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We come humbly now in your precious Son's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 starts off this way. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye has walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we have heard our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, the filiation in time past in the desires of the flesh and mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see that there is a transformation that takes place in our life when we accept Christ as our own. Everything that we need is complete in him. We know this because of the writer of Ephesians, who is Paul. Paul, who was an apostle. There is a lot of confusion in today's society and within our culture about what does it mean to be a Christian. You know, a lot of people think that being a Christian means that you go to church. Some people think that being a Christian means doing good things. But being a Christian, what does that truly mean? Being a Christian means putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the first thing that we have to realize is, what do we need to be saved from? And in Romans chapter 3, it talks about how there is none righteous, no, not one. And there is none who seek after God, and there is none who seeketh to do good. According to the Bible, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners who fall short of God's glory. Now we have to understand that God is holy and cannot tolerate sin. In Genesis, it talks about the creation. God, being holy, being just, and being loving, created the world perfect. Then he created all the things of the earth. The animals, the sea creatures, night and day. And then he goes to create man. And there is the beginning. Now Adam and Eve were there in the garden. Satan comes to Adam and Eve, well, specifically to Eve, and tempts her to eat of the fruit that was forbidden by God to eat. He commanded them. They had one rule. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she disobeyed. From that point in time, she passed the fruit to Adam, and Adam partook. Then the consequence of sin passed down from generation to generation to generation. We are all sinners because we all come from Adam. And we are in need of a Savior, who is Christ Jesus. Here tonight, I want to focus on hell and the cross. It was a long time ago. There was a news broadcast that was broadcasting all over the nation. There was a rock band group performing at a nightclub. And what normally happens is that there's these events, and they're up on stage, and they have these fog machines. And during the concert, there is a flame that starts up, and nobody noticed it. And because of all the fog and with all the things going on and all the lights flashing, nobody noticed the fire that was started. And now, here, there are thousands of people in this nightclub. And now, all of a sudden, the flames now burst out from the stage, and now people are starting to panic. Now, if you could imagine with me just how panicked these people were. And the exit signs were not well lit because of all the fog, and it was so crowded in there, everybody rushed to the only exit that they remember, which was the door that they walked in from. Now, there's this crowd of people trying to get out, and they're trying so hard, trying to get out, and they're not getting a lot of people out. It's cramped. Some of the teenagers here tonight know what that feels like, because they were crowded in the doors shooting people with Nerf guns. But their lives weren't in immediate danger. And we know that this footage was not going to be replayed because it was just so graphic. As they're broadcasting live at this nightclub, the building bursts into flames and the people inside are being burned to death. Now, hell is a real place. Jesus talked more about hell than he did on heaven because he was warning people. He didn't want people to go there. He doesn't want you to go there. Hell is a real place. And if you're here tonight without Christ, that is your destination. But thankfully, God, being just, being loving, being righteous, sent his son Jesus to earth to live a perfect life. He was born of a virgin, as the prophecy says in Isaiah. And there are also other prophecies in Isaiah that were fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled them. But we need to know what we need to be saved from, and that is our sin. Well, you ask me, well, Sam, what is sin? Well, we in the children's program make it easy for you. Sin is anything we think, anything that we say, and anything that we do that breaks God's law. That is what sin is. And we are all sinners. You know, I can ask myself the question, all right, Sam, am I a sinner? Well, you know, I'm pretty good. Have you ever told a lie? Oh, yeah, I've told a lie, yeah. I have done that. Okay, I'm guilty. Okay, well, that's just one I broke. I'm good enough. That's just one lie. Okay, well, have you ever disobeyed your parents? Yeah. I disobey my parents a lot. All right, that's two for two. All right, and then have you ever taken the name of God in vain? You know, I think there was that one time. Yeah, I did that, yeah. So now I'm three for three. Should I keep going? No, I don't think you need to keep going. And rightfully so, because God, being just, being holy, punishes sinners. But he gives grace. He sends a gift into the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That could be you here tonight. But we have to acknowledge, we have to pay attention and listen to what sin is. You know, you can know all the facts about Jesus and still not be saved. Did you know that? You can know exactly who Jesus is. You can say Jesus is the Messiah, and still not be saved. Because there is a transformation that when you accept Christ, you make him your own, and you put your faith and trust in him, you are changed. The Bible says that you are a new creature in him. Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, you become new, a new creature. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus talks about how the fire is not quenched. He says that if your eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better to enter into heaven with one eye. If your hand offend thee, chop it off. Now, I'm thinking about Cola Wars. Imagine if we had a competition, you know, all right. If any of you guys stolen something, what I want you to do in the next quickest time that you can, the first people up here, come up here, and I'm going to chop off your hand, and the first one who has the biggest pile wins, all right? On your marks, get set, go. No one's going to come up here and run up and chop off their hand. What are you talking about? That's crazy. But Jesus is making a specific point here. He's saying that it is better to go into heaven with one arm than to go with your full body into hell. He doesn't want you to go there. I remember a preacher was talking about an illustration that I have heard. That there was a preacher in New York, and you know how in New York there's different categories of different ethnic groups. So there's Chinatown, and then there's a Russia town and a bunch of other. And this preacher was out trying to invite people to his church. And he stumbles across a Jewish lady. And he's trying to witness to her, trying to share the gospel with her. He's asking these questions, and she's answering them. And the first question that he asks is like, do you believe in heaven or hell? And she says to him, well, I don't believe that there is a hell. And so he asks the question, so do you think that everybody goes to heaven? And she's like, yeah, I think everybody goes to heaven. That's what I believe. It was like, okay, so he's thinking, and I think God gave him a little bit of creativity. And he says to her, knowing her ethnicity, oh, I can't say it. You know what I mean. And he says, okay, well, if that's true, when you get to heaven, tell Hitler I said hi. And the look on her face when he said that, kind of purposefully, because he wanted her to respond. And she said to him, Hitler's not going to be in heaven. He's going to be in... And her own logic broke in front of her. We have a sense of justice that we all know that people deserve. We all deserve hell. And the Bible says that there is nothing that we can do to enter heaven on our own. There is only one mediator between God, between heaven or hell, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He is the only way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. So let me explain what Jesus specifically did for all of us. It's recorded in all of the Gospels of his death and resurrection. Specifically in Luke, it talks about the account of Jesus' persecution. You see, Jesus had a public ministry that he would go out and he would preach the gospel. He would tell people to repent, to turn away from their sin, and to trust him. Believe in me. He is the only way. And now you have the Pharisees who hate Jesus. They hate him so much that there are many instances in Scripture where they pick up stones to stone him. And each time, Jesus fled. He even asked in John, before they were going to stone him, he asked, for which good deed are you going to stone me? Which deed have my father commanded me to do? Are you going to stone me? And they said to him, for good deed we do not stone you, but because you make yourself equal to God. That is why they were going to stone him. That is why they hated him. But the truth is, Jesus is God himself in human form. The only one who could pay the price for our sin. Now, Jesus was without sin. He was perfect. He never told a lie. He never stole anything. He never took God's name in vain. He lived a perfect life. He did nothing wrong. And one night came where he enters into the garden to pray. And this is Jesus' most agonizing part of his life. We see in Scripture his prayer to the Father. He says, if there be any way, take this cup from me. But Lord, let your will be done. Perfect submission to the Father. Yet his flesh was fighting him the entire time, proving his godness, resisting the temptation of sin. He himself resisted Satan in the wilderness, proving he is God. And moments later, he comes to find his disciples sleeping in the garden, and he wakes them up. Do you not know the time is at hand that I am going to be delivered into the hands of my enemies? And sure enough, here are the Pharisees, the religious leaders, coming at night to retrieve him. And he spoke. They asked, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he says to them, I am. And they all fall to the ground, proving that Jesus was going willfully. There is nothing that could have pushed him. He went by himself. And they go and they put the shackles on him and they take him. And he's tried illegally. And then he's brought before Pilate. And they make up a lie saying that he claims to overthrow Caesar, so that Pilate can then try him. And he's taken before Pilate, and Pilate finds no fault in him. He sees that this man has done nothing wrong, and so he sees that he's from a different area and sends him to that leader. And that leader couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus as well, so he sends him back to Pilate. And it's right before the Passover, and usually during this time, they would have a tradition where they would set a prisoner free. And so here's Pilate, and he brings out Barabbas, who is a modern-day terrorist. And here is Barabbas and Jesus, and he says, which one should I set free? Jesus, who has done nothing wrong, or Barabbas, who is a modern-day terrorist? And the crowd chants, give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! But Jesus didn't do anything wrong. There was no fault in him. Pilate himself saw that there was nothing wrong that Jesus did. And so they took him. And what they did was they hanged him on a pole, stretching out his body. And that what they would do, they would take a whip called a cat of nine tails, and they would take this whip, and these Romans would be experts at torment. And they would whip people just to the point of death so that they would suffer. And they did that exact same thing to Jesus. They whipped him. At the end of this whip, there would be glass, there would be nails, there would be spikes, and they would lash it into Jesus, and these things would hook into his sides. And then they would rip back, ripping open his flesh to the point where there are organs exposed. there would be a pile of blood beneath him. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable as a man. And then they mocked him. They made fun of him. They threw a cloth over his face and said, prophesy who hit you. And they would whack him. Come on, if you claim to be God, tell us who hit you. They would beat him. And then they would take a crown of thorns, and they would take a mallet, and they would beat the crown of thorns into his head. All because he loved you. Because he loved you. But it doesn't stop there. After this, they take him, and he's being sentenced to crucifixion, which was in that time to be made an example. You don't mess with the Romans, or else this is what happens to you. But the Bible says, cursed for anyone who hangs on a tree. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He was nailed to the cross. They took 9-inch spikes, and they would hammer them into their wrists, not breaking any bones, as it is prophesied. And they would lay him on the ground, and they would stretch out his arms. He would be stretched out on the cross. And then they would take the cross, and they would lift it up, and it would sink down into a hole, and all at once his body would jerk, probably dislocating some of his joints. But just imagine all the wounds, him being unrecognizable as a man. The Bible says that they plucked out his beard, all because he loved you. This is what Christ came to do. Jesus' last words were, "It is finished. It is done." Going back to Ephesians, the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lifts us from our sins into life, that resurrects us when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus did all of this because he loved each and every single one of us. He died for us. Scripture says that on the third day, he died. He was put into a tomb. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, proving three things: that he had power over death, that he had power over hell, and that he had power over sin, conquering death and the grave, proving that he was who he said he was, the Messiah, the promised King, the salvation of the world. Have you put your faith and trust in him? And in him only. Is your faith in your good works? The Bible says our works are as filthy rags. It says that, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, and the spirit who worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and in the mind, that we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," and his love is demonstrated on the cross, "even when we were dead in our sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, lest it is a gift of God." Now, I have an illustration to illustrate this. On Christmas morning, There are some of us that are so excited to get up out of bed and to go and open up presents. I know for me, I was probably the first one up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I run out of bed and like, hey, it's 3 o'clock. Yes, Santa Claus came and I know that he's not real, but I know I want to open up presents. Yeah. And then my parents come out and they yell at me. Sam, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed. Yes, ma'am. And I ran back into my room and I didn't go to sleep, but I just laid there. But when you accept a gift, you take it. You open it up. You see what it is and you're so excited and it's, oh man, this is great. I love this. You can't do that if you've never accepted the gift. The gift that is offered freely to you, to all of us, we first have to accept it. Well, what does that take? Well, in Romans 10, it says, in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is over all, who is rich unto all, for all who call upon him. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you called out to Jesus to save you from your sin? Because he is the only one who saves. Muhammad does not save. Buddha does not save. It is Jesus Christ alone who saves. Have you put your faith and trust in him? Only then will you be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith that whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. Has there been a time in your life where you've done that? Where you called out to Christ? Where you acknowledged your sin? You realize that you are a sinner, that there is nothing that you can do to get into heaven on your own, that it's only through Jesus Christ, and you want him to come into your life to change you. Salvation is by grace, because of love, and because of it, we are brought to life. And we have a purpose, to bring honor and glory to him. But you need to confess. You need to realize and agree with God about your sin. That it is filthy. It is disgusting. And that God wants nothing to do with it, and neither should you. For it is better to enter into heaven with one arm or one eye than to go into the fire, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Hell, you do not die. It is eternal punishment that needs an eternal sacrifice, an eternal payment that is only given to us by an eternal God. Are you willing to humble yourself, to cry out to Jesus to save you from your sin, and accept him to be Lord and Savior tonight? If I could have every head bowed and eyes closed. This is how I usually finish in the teen program, is asking a couple of questions. First question being, how many of you here tonight would say, Brother Sam, I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, and I know 100% that I am on my way to heaven. And if that's you, just slip up your hand. I see those hands. Thank you. You may put them down. How many of you here tonight would say, Brother Sam, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't think I've ever put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but I need to. Would you pray for me? And if that's you, just raise up your hand. I won't embarrass you. That's not the point. But I would love to pray for you. And if that's you, just slip up your hand. I will pray for you. Father, I thank you that we can come before you here tonight. that you have given your Son, Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to save us from something that we ourselves cannot be saved from. But Lord, you being rich in mercy, rich in love, paid the price for our sins. Lord, I pray for those who are here tonight and they don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that tonight would be the night of salvation. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Pastor to come up here and close us. But the opportunity to you guys still remains. This is the most important decision of your life. Don't wait. Run to him. He's wanting you to come to him to be saved. Would you do that here tonight?